is the Tom Likas Show.
Drug dealing, hookers, and loud music. And
now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No shit, it's retarded.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at MoviumTom.com. Hear our show on demand. Go to the all-new PremiumTom.com. That's PremiumTom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And here in studio, as he is every Tuesday, live at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. This family law attorney, Adam Sachs. Good to see you.
Hey, Tom. What's up?
Not much. What's going on?
Another exciting week.
They're all exciting weeks around here. There's no shortage of excitement here.
Definitely. I was just talking to Gary about the big divorce this week, which is Bruce Jenner, apparently, and crazy Kris Kardashian.
Yes.
What was interesting about it, you know, if nothing else, is that they planned the whole thing. Apparently, they worked it all out. They wrote it all down. They did it without lawyers, would you believe? Which horrifies me. But they did it with their business managers, and they planned the whole thing in advance. And then they just went in and filed, and it was all pretty much open and shut. I had an old friend who once told me that people spend a lot of time planning their vacations, but they don't spend any time typically planning their lives. And there certainly is some truth to that. And, you know, one of the things that happens to a lot of guys where they know they need to get a divorce, but they don't want to think about it, and they kind of put it in the back of their mind. And as we've said many times, usually women file most divorces, something like more than 85%. So guys call me and tell me.
Because they have the most to gain.
Well, of course, but I think they're also, you know, Miss Super Unhappy or whatever, Miss Miserable Princess. But the thing is that, you know, when they have this and the way it goes where the woman files it, a lot of guys tell me, you know, I'm completely shocked and I can't believe it and I don't know where to start and I don't know what to do. And a lot of times for the beginning phase of it, let's say the first couple of months, they'll proceed without a lawyer, or even if they have a lawyer, they'll have a lot of things that are kind of loose. Like, for example, I have a case where the guy would take the kids to school every day, and it was no big deal. He picked them up and dropped them off, and he was only with them for like 20 minutes in the morning. But he did not get that into the agreement when he wrote up custody and visitation, because that was just this little loose thing that they did. And as soon as they signed, the wife went into mega bitch mode, and she played one of those, like, you know, you're familiar with this in contracts, you know, Tom? Like, hey, I don't see it in the contract, so fuck you.
Exactly.
It's not written here, so that's it. So your little side understanding is gone. And, you know, one of the things that people really have to think about is planning. You will be amazed. Women are so ruthless about it. They're so pre-planning and calculative that they are organizing. I met women in their office. This one woman I went to see wanted a divorce. I went to see her in her office. And she pulled out a drawer, and in the drawer was bank statements and letters and all kinds of financial details and profit and loss statements. She had been organizing and setting aside the paperwork for years, you know?
Right.
There was cases, you know?
That's what they do!
Well, you know, you got to feel for the husband on some level. I mean, he wasn't my client, but it was like the poor bastard's married to this woman. He thinks he's happy. He thinks things are going okay. And she's been sort of having this secondary plan going on the whole time, this parallel plan that she was planning on leaving his ass, and she was just waiting for her moment. And, you know, there needs to be this greater recognition about the thing that we sometimes say tongue-in-cheek, but you certainly taught me this, Tom, that marriage is a business. You know, it's a partnership in business.
It's a corporation.
It's not a joke. It
really
is.
It's literally a corporation.
Well, you know, you get the raised seal of the document from the Secretary of State. That ought to tell you something right there.
Right. Which you would get on a incorporation documents.
Or a partnership, by the way.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's exactly what you're doing. You're forming a corporation in which each party has a 50% ownership stake.
Right.
That is what getting married legally is all about.
But see, if you and I were business partners, and let's say we owned a store together or whatever, and we knew that, you know, we weren't getting along, we were going to split up or whatever, you know, there would be this whole background where we would kind of start planning and organize it a little bit. And I'd say, okay, Tom, you know, you can take this thing and I'll take that thing. And we'd have some kind of understanding. But what's amazing is because of the whole confusion of love and romance, people don't look at their marriage that way. And particularly guys, I think women are much more calculative. When the woman knows she's not in love with you anymore, whatever that means, she's done with you. She is looking at the bottom line. And when we talk about that pre-planning, so many guys are caught literally with their pants down. It's really, really remarkable.
Right.
The worst guys, and I see a lot of these also, are guys that feel guilty. Now, women guilt men for a lot of different reasons, with children, a lot of jazz like that. But in particular, when a guy has cheated, for example, okay, now, I'm not saying it happened out of nowhere. Maybe the wife, you know, refused sex for 2.5 years, and then the guy was, like, losing his mind. But whatever the story is, when a guy actually has cheated, it's fascinating, but as he's getting fucked in the family law court, and I'm freaking out, a lot of times he'll pull me aside and say, hey, you know, I deserve this. You know, I have this coming. And it's amazing how when the shoe's on the other foot and the woman's many affairs are exposed, the guy is like, you know, shocked, but he doesn't have that same vibe. And she certainly doesn't. You know, you always see a woman say, oh, man, he deserved it. I don't give a crap. I fucked his best friend, but I don't care.
Right.
Pretty heartless stuff.
Exactly right.
And the things that we have had in my various cases, in particular, when agreements were made early on in the case, they really stick. They're really hard to undo. And I've had guys that represented themselves, or they had a very weak lawyer at the beginning. Sometimes they'll find like a family friend, a friend of their mother or something, who does real estate law, you know, who as kind of a favor to the mother takes the divorce case and doesn't really know what they're doing and starts it off really shitty with this little crappy interim agreement or temporary custody agreement or something. And, you know, a year later, it's a complete catastrophe, and it's very, very difficult to undo. It's really harsh. It's very, very hard to kind of take it back and readjust it and make it more rational once it starts to be in practice and it has kind of a life of its own. And what ends up happening is that, you know, the judge is like, you know, hey, you have this agreement, you know, it's working. What's the problem? And, you know, it's like you're the one who's being an asshole, you know, upsetting the apple cart. And so it's very, very important to get on it early and to get on it properly and to be aware of it and to approach it with some kind of a plan. You know, I've had a couple of guys who were living with the wife, and they were, you know, crazy things where they live in different rooms. I think the guy's downstairs and she's upstairs or whatever. And I've said, look, that's sick. This is not a good idea. You've got to start thinking about getting your own place. And they like delay it and delay it and delay it. And then the wife ultimately gets a restraining order and gets a kick out order, which means the guy has to leave. He literally is in his house. And he gets a knock on the door, and it's a cop with the new restraining order the wife just got. And the cop says to him, you know, you've got 5 minutes to get your shit and go. And so he ends up grabbing a few pieces of clothes. He ends up leaving behind almost all of his possessions, which she then, you know, keeps and won't let him have and plays games with him getting them. It affects the kids, obviously. It affects all the different factors. And this is something that really should have been avoided if he had done a little pre-planning. Now, I have a couple of people that have called me and told me, I really need a divorce. I'm really freaking out. And, you know, Tom, they're right on the edge of 10 years.
Right.
This is like the scary thing, because 10 years, I got to remind everybody, you know, later on people say to me, oh, I didn't realize it was that serious. 10 years is very serious. That can change the nature of support from temporary to permanent, because you have a lifelong marriage or a long-term marriage. You can end up with lifetime support. And what ends up happening in that case, you know, when you have someone who's married for 9 years, it's like, dude, you got to file this divorce. You got to start cooking here because you don't want to break the 10-year mark. And in spite of that, I mean, they think I'm this high-pressure salesman, and I'm making them nervous, and I'm pressuring them, and I'm giving them a hard time, and I'm telling them, holy shit, I'm more upset about it than you are. Let's go. And ultimately, you know, some of them just can't deal with it, and they just put it off. And you'd be amazed at the strength of denial. Denial is a fascinating thing.
I'm amazed at the number of people who worry so much about their car insurance.
Yes.
You know, they're worried about, well, do I have collision, and do I have enough coverage? And you know, if you ever said to these people, what are you planning on having a car accident? They would think you were crazy.
Of course.
But yet, the very same people say that about a prenuptial agreement. You say, do you have a prenup? And they say, no. That's like planning to fail. What am I planning for divorce? Well, you hope you won't get divorced, but you know, 50% of the people or more who get married prove to be wrong. That's a lot bigger chance you're going to get divorced than you're going to have a car accident.
Yeah, you wouldn't take those odds in any other situation.
No,
it's really true, and it's much more than 50%. You know, I had someone. This isn't family law, but I had someone in the past couple of days call me with a very serious DUI case. Hit and run. So he had been drunk. He smashed a parked car. I think he injured someone, a pedestrian, and then he drove home. So he's facing felony charges. And all he wanted to talk about was apparently they had found his car because I think it got stuck or something, and they had towed it to like one of those tow lots. And all he wanted to talk about was getting the car. And are they going to keep the car? Are they going to try to auction the car? He doesn't want to have to pay storage for the car. And I'm like, dude, forget about the freaking car. You're facing a felony. You're going to have police at your door, you know, with guns drawn to arrest you and pull you out of your fucking house any minute now, you know? And he's like, yeah, but my car, I got to get my, am I still going to have to make payments on my car? So that's very reminiscent to me of what you just said, Tom, where, you know, like I said, people plan vacations, but they don't plan their lives. You can get people that are talking about every detail of a wedding. You ever see a woman plan a wedding or planning a some kind of a party, complicated thing like a bat mitzvah, and they're talking about the place settings, and they're talking about, you know, the table settings and who's going to be there and what they're going to do and on and on and on. But meanwhile, if you actually talk about, you know, what are you going to do once you're married? How are you going to make it work? You know, remember we talked about this, that Alec Baldwin married Kim Basinger, and, you know, apparently he was a New York guy from Long Island, and she was an L.A. girl, and they never discussed where they were going to live. And here they are married, and she wants to live in L.A., and he wants to live in New York, and they were fighting about this. And you say, like, that's incredible. It's like you dated for all those years before you got married and never discussed something so basic and foundational.
Then you go out and have kids.
By the way, people don't discuss that. You know how many people get married without ever having a conversation about whether you want to have children or not? And then you get married. It turns out, you know, the wife does and he doesn't, or vice versa. Or the wife wants to wait and he doesn't, or vice versa. And it's like it ends up being this unbelievable conflict. It's like people never discuss these issues. It's like if you're like, you remember that show, I remember this growing up, was The Odd Couple. So there was two guys, but whatever, they were roommates. And one was a neat freak and one was a slob.
Yep.
So what the fuck? You marry this woman who's a slob or vice versa and you're a neat freak, right? And it's like, how can you possibly expect to have any kind of success? The two of you are going to drive each other crazy. Or like, you know, somebody that loves to go out all the time and the other person's a homebody, you know? I mean, this is stuff that has to be evaluated and talked about or something. And it's amazing how many people proceed with marriages and then stay in them when they're very fundamentally incompatible.
I don't get that at all. And again, I really do believe that people do not get married. If there's a right reason to get married, I don't know it, but they certainly don't get married for the reasons that are usually stated about communication and love.
Yeah.
People are afraid to step up to the plate and say, for example, I'm not going to live in L.A., I'm going to live in New York.
Yeah.
Or to say, I'm
I
not
hope
gonna
you don't
have,
plan on living in L.A.
I'm not having kids.
Yeah.
you know how many times I have said that, and women have, like, been horrified, but I'd rather they be horrified than get married to me and then later go, "But you never told me you were not going to have kids. Now I'm stuck with you." No, I wouldn't let that happen.
I recall you were talking about being married to a woman who told you, of course, after you were married,
right,
"I never really liked sex in the morning."
Right.
I mean, that's a stunning revelation.
Right. You might have clued me in on that.
I think it was worse, right? Because
well, you know why she didn't clue me on? I wouldn't have got married.
Well, there you go.
And she wanted to get married.
Well, she was doing the sell job.
That's what it is.
But as I recall,
now that I'm married, do you? I feel comfortable telling you I never really liked sex in the morning.
But that's even worse because, as I recall, she was fooling around in the morning when you were dating.
Oh, she was doing whatever I wanted her to do as many times a day as I wanted to do it.
I love it.
Before we got married. And then after we got married,
yes,
I found out what the limits were going to be.
Now that we're married, I don't feel inhibited to tell you.
Well, I didn't feel comfortable before, but now that we're married, I feel comfortable telling you.
I like that.
And what she's not saying is the truth. And the truth is, well, I knew you wouldn't marry me if I told you the truth.
Did she go that far?
No, I'm telling you, that's the truth. Well, I knew you wouldn't agree to get married to me if I told you that, so I didn't tell you that. And thank God I was able to move the timeline up and get married quickly, because all that sex in the morning was fucking me up.
I love it.
That's the reality.
I don't want to have sex on any day that ends in the letter Y.
That's pretty much the story of for a lot of people who get married, I would say, based on what I know.
It just seems that, you know, contextually, you know, people, I thought, would want it to work. It's amazing that women would do such fundamental things and undermine relationships in such fundamental ways and somehow expect it to have no effect. There was a story I just heard about a guy, apparently, who was saving money and putting it away, and he was planning for retirement. And he apparently put it in, like, this safe in the house. And he goes one day to the safe, and it's all gone. And apparently his wife had given it to her mother because she needed it for something or another. And when he got really upset, she was completely dumbfounded. I mean, she was like, "You're upset, darling? What's wrong?"
Right.
"Why are you upset?" Like it never even occurred to her that would be even the slightest issue. It's really fascinating in that respect. And people like, I mean, for example, it's reminiscent to me of what you said about your ex telling you that she wouldn't have sex in the morning or whatever.
Right.
It's remarkable that she's so completely disconnected from reality that it doesn't even occur to her that would have bothered you. Somehow,
put it this way. Let's say I had a partner in this business.
Oh, really?
And then after we are in business together, he says, "You know, I don't like this whole podcasting thing."
Like, I was thinking he says, "You know, Tom, I don't really like Burbank."
I could sue him. I mean, I could sue him for that.
Really? You say you've completely breached what we agreed
you
to?
You knew what business I was in when you offered to be my partner. You knew. Okay. But there's all kinds of fraud that is completely legal when it comes to women and marriage and having children. It's completely legal to defraud people.
It's definitely a different standard.
Right? I mean, you can't even go to... You try. You know the deal. What if you tried to go to court and said, "Not only do I want to annul this marriage, this is fraud. This woman had sex with me in the morning every day for a year, and then I married her, and she said, you know, I never really did like that, and let me know it's never going to happen again."
I don't know if the judge is going to want to hear about that.
That's my point.
It's definitely interesting, certainly fraud from that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
What surprises me the most is how women react to it. You know, I do have women clients, and when I talk to them about things like this, and they will explain a story like that. You know, "My husband was insisting on sex in the morning. I told him I don't like it, but I had told him when we were getting married that I did like it. I told him later I didn't like it." And you'll say to her, "Well, that's crazy." You know, I mean, you know, not even being nasty. And a woman's mind is so fascinating because a woman would not even see that. A woman would not even understand. She would just go, "Well, he's the one who's being an asshole."
Right. Exactly
and, you know,
right.
What do you mean? You know, and you know, she starts saying to me, what are you defending him? I'm like, listen, I'm not defending him, but I mean, listen to what he's saying. I mean, it makes sense, and you don't. You're saying a real, you know, nonsense thing, and here he's, you know, basically just wanting you to be the way you were. There's a saying that men get married, you know, hoping that things will never change, and women get married thinking about all the things they're going to change about the guy.
Right? But that's absolutely true. Women see men as reclamation projects or as makeover candidates.
Projects.
Oh, he's a diamond in the rough, you know. And I'm going to clean him up. You know what? He'll clean up good. He's going to clean up good.
I remember you had a story where I think you were in your house in Hollywood, and one of your wife or girlfriend's friends came with this complete schmuck of a guy. And you kind of pulled her aside and said to her, what are you doing with this dude? And she said, oh, Tommy's got so much potential.
That's exactly right.
Well, how did that go?
He's got so much potential. That's exactly right.
So he's just overflowing with potential.
Right.
In a way, if you're a guy and you've got your act together, a woman's going to think you're boring, right?
By the way, women love potential in every way, okay? They love fixer-upper houses.
Yeah.
They like guys who are fixer-uppers. That's why why do you think there's 80 million makeover shows still on the air to this day?
Okay.
And women don't want something that's ready to move in. They want something they can fix. They want someone they can mold in their own image. They want somebody they can train.
Okay, but if I bought a house, let's say I bought a car that was trashed, okay? And I spent a year trying to restore it, okay? And I just can't. It's just too screwed up, okay?
Right.
All right. Do I blame the car? Isn't it my failure? It's fascinating that a woman will get involved with a guy. She'll have this fantasy that she's going to make him over and change him and redo him and rejuvenate him, and that he's going to somehow turn his life around. He's going to end up being a surgeon, you know? And after a couple of years, he does not change. Of course, he does not rejuvenate. And what's fascinating is that she is totally furious at him. She doesn't blame herself at all.
Right.
You say, wait a second, you're the one who couldn't change the guy. You're the one who were kidding yourself that this guy was going to become this different person at some point. And the woman doesn't see it that way at all. She sees it as his failure, that he's an asshole, and she put her best efforts into him, and none of the lessons took. Remember that book we had, Tom? There was a book we were talking about that was on one of the bestseller lists, where the woman was saying that you could train your husband using the same techniques that they use on dogs.
Yes.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You marry some woman, right? And she's such a schmuck that she goes to the bookstore. One of her friends recommends this book, and she's using dog and animal training techniques on her husband.
And you wouldn't believe the aftertaste those liver snaps out on you after you've had a few of those.
Gross. And you really say to yourself, like, I can't believe this bitch is doing this to me. And then she's going to be furious. She's going to be upset. This is supposed to work.
Right?
It works in the book.
Right?
It worked on the TV show. What the hell's your problem?
Agreed.
Jerk.
Now let's take a break. And we will continue. Adam Sachs is here with your free legal advice, folks. He's here as family law attorney, Adam Sachs. You have questions about divorce. You have questions about separation. You have questions about child custody, child support, vaginamony, prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements, restraining orders. They're all part of that lovely world of getting married. Okay. You were in love. Yeah. What were you thinking? All right. You can call Adam right now at this number, 901-3000 Tom. You can dial right now. 901-3000 Tom. It's 901-3000-866.
So, how do you like our
little internet project
now? 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years, using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and could tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino Show. Just listen to when Bar Rescue's John Taffer called in.
Maybe we just established one ground rule, and that is you don't yell at us. Because, you know, people have told us we're stupid and we're doing the wrong thing for our whole lives.
Yeah, and to be yelled at, I think, would really drive us into the dirt.
So is that cool?
If you ask one more time, guys, I'm going to start yelling. That's where this...
Guts. Glory. Stupidity.
When you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror, I want you to see a thief.
The Gary and Dino Show.
I want you to know.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
I've been saying that to him for years,
That's my
John.
Biggest nightmare.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Hammer time!
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. And we are here answering your legal questions at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866. Now, on the legal front, Adam, what is happening in the world of family law? Do we have... I'm imagining it's only getting worse, not better, for men.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, there were a couple of little moves in some of the eastern states, like Florida started having this. They were talking about the unfairness of lifetime alimony. You know that there was this ancient idea, and I mean ancient, hundreds and thousands of years old, you know, that a woman was a burden. And there used to be a thing called a dowry, Tom. Which people say this is crazy. It still exists in, like, India, for example. But basically, you were paid money when you took a girl off of her family's hands. So, in other words, when you married a girl, her family gave you money, cash. You remember women had a hope chest? That's what that was for.
Yes.
That was filled with either, you know, gold or silver coins. And when you married, you know, the ugly daughter, you would get this hope chest and you would get cash or whatever. And that was a dowry. And one of the theories was that a woman is a burden on the new family. And that was to offset that to some degree and to incentivize, you know, marrying her. And so alimony, when you talk about a woman, let's say, who sacrificed by not going to school, we might call her lazy, but that's another story.
Yeah.
She didn't go to school. She raised your children or whatever of the husband. And so, you know, she was not in the same financial position as the man, let's say, who had been working on his career all those years. So there was an idea that if you got divorced, you know, she was going to be right into the street because she had nothing. And so there ought to be some kind of money paid to her aside from settlement, which is alimony, which is some kind of support for her to get back on her feet. And there's a fundamental unfairness when you talk about the standard of life and how much should be paid. But when you talk about the fundamental unfairness of it being permanent, where 20, 30 years later, the woman's still collecting it. I actually knew a guy that actually my mother had dated, if you can believe that. And he had been married for about 10 years, maybe 40 or 50 years ago. And he was still paying money to this woman. After all that time, they were both, you know, much older people. And he was still getting letters from her lawyer, and he was still getting tortured by her. She was going after his military pension. I mean, if you think about it, think about what else in life has an echo like that. Of any mistake that you make, where 50 years later, you're still fucking paying. You still can't make it. You're never going to hear the end of it, ever. You know, it's this thing that dogs you forever. And, you know, I think I told you, Tom, I've said this in the past, I went on dates with women who said to me, you know, you're a great guy, I'd love to date you, but I hope you're not looking to get married because I can never marry you. And I remember being like, you know, I'm just, I don't want to get married, but that's fine. I was just like, out of curiosity, I said, you know, oh, wow, why can't you get married? And the woman kind of whispered a little, kind of leaned in and said, you know, my stupid ass ex-husband is paying me $35,000 a month. Can you believe that? I had this great lawyer. I stuck it to him. And I get that for the rest of my life,
right?
Unless I get married.
Yeah.
So fuck that. I'm never getting married.
Well, you know, at one time, as much as people know that I don't want to date women with kids,
Yeah. It
wasn't always so. I did date women
with
kids.
You naughty boy. I know you did.
I did. Well, because, you know, I just like so many other things, I learned the hard way. And this is the story. When I met a woman, and she didn't tell me she was a single mother, nothing like that.
Ooh.
Hot chick, get to her place. Everybody's naked. She is landing on me like a hovercraft.
There you go.
And just about the time she's about to land, I hear crying.
Oh, my God.
And I said, what is that?
Talk about breaking the mood.
She said, well, that's my son in the other room.
Oh, God.
And then she couldn't resist. She's naked. She's hovering over me. And she's going, you know, and his father doesn't want to live up to his responsibilities.
Oh, God.
And suddenly I realized, like, this is where these things go.
Yeah.
And that was the moment I decided, you know what? Not only do I not want to have kids, but I'm not going to date anyone with kids.
Yeah.
Because this is how they think. If you had an accident, this is where it's going.
It's amazing where they get these big words all of a sudden, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You meet this woman who looks like she never finished high school, and she's like, he won't live up to his responsibility.
Right.
Whoa.
Right.
Nice. Where'd you get that from? I'm
live
impressed.
Up to responsibility.
That's a big mouthful there.
I got news for you, darling. I'm not going to live up to any responsibilities. I'm not going to have any responsibilities. I'm out of here. And I literally, and it's true, I literally slid out from under her and had to extricate myself. And,
that's self-control, Tom.
Put my pants on. I was losing all interest in continuing at all in any way.
I know, but I think, you know, if she was really hot, few men could have pulled themselves out of that situation.
That's why I still own my two houses, my four cars, because I always extricated myself from situations.
Four cars, Tom. I don't know.
Yeah, four cars.
Can't drive all four at once, right?
You can't, but they all have different uses. They all do.
It just seems to me that, you know, at the heat of passion or whatever, very few guys are able to think carefully and clearly. And
I never lose focus on my wallet, Adam. It's always within my sights. I always think about what if someone had their hand in there. Sorry. When you put your hand in my pants, I'm thinking about you having your hand in my wallet. That's what I'm thinking.
My wallet there.
Right. Is that a wallet in your pocket? Are you happy to see? No, it's a wallet.
See, the miscalculation, I think, and this is something that you're very clear on, but a lot of guys are not, is when she's criticizing the last guy and telling you what a piece of shit he is and he doesn't live up to his responsibility and so forth, people really are unable to focus on the fact
that's
that you're going to
be
next.
That's going to be you.
Of course it's going to be you.
Right.
When you talk to a woman, she starts telling you how her last boyfriend ripped her off and screwed her over, and the guy before screwed her over, and he's a piece of shit, and she sued him, and she got a restraining order against the other one.
Right.
You think, oh, no, me and my magic dick, I'm so special that she's never going to feel that way towards me. Bullshit.
Well, I had the chick who moved to L.A. to be with a guy, a Persian guy. You know those Persian guys.
Oh, yeah, Tony, right?
Tony the Persian guy, Sal. The Persian guy. The Persian guy who said he lives in Beverly Hills, but in reality he lives on the east side of Doheny's. He's actually in West Hollywood.
Very nice.
That guy. Okay, pretends to be in Beverly Hills. And
Beverly Hills adjacent.
Right. Long story short, these two met at a ski resort in Aspen. Then Sexy. Both went to their respective homes, and then ultimately he convinced her to move to West Hollywood, thinking she was moving to Beverly Hills. So she moves there, and the guy definitely has money, and he's got a car. Here, drive one of my cars. Here, whatever you need, just take it. Don't worry about it, you know. So, and you know those Persian guys, even women, they say, hey, buddy. When they own a grocery store, the Persian guy who says, I'll be age 76, buddy. One of those guys. Okay.
Hey, such a racist, Tom.
That's what they do.
We're going to have every pissed off Persian calling us now.
They don't. You know what? The Persians know who they are. I've had conversations about Persians on the show before. And they know.
I'll never live it down.
Yes. By the way, do you know Gil Turner's liquor store on Sunset Boulevard is owned by Persians?
Why not?
There's no Gil Turner in there.
Wait, let's come up with something neutral sounding.
By the way, they were listeners for years, those guys. But I'm telling you, they're Iranians, okay?
Do I get the Tom Likas discount when I go there now?
Try mentioning my name, see what happens. You might have sold it to another Iranian by now, but that's the deal. So anyway, this ex of mine had been with this guy, and he was not digging being with this chick when she was living in his apartment.
All right.
And she'd moved from far away to be in his apartment.
So what went wrong, Tom?
Well, here's what happens. She meets me and leaves him for me.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Now, of course, I'm thinking
I'm
some big stud. This chick left him for me.
Uh-huh.
Right. So
and then
you
find out why he didn't want her anymore.
Well, that's right. Like I always talk about that recycle bin. You know, every hot chick is in the recycle bin for a reason.
So this lamp gives me a terrible shock.
Right. So I took the lamp out of the bin and I plugged it in. And sure enough, here's what she's telling me. Oh, he was such an idiot, you know. He was telling me, just take whatever you wanted. So I took money out of his bank account, and oh, my God. You know, it's like, oh, is that what this is all about?
I see.
You're a fucking grifter is what you are.
I see. So she's trying to grift you, I suppose.
That was my opinion, but we took care of that.
You nip that one in the bud, eh?
Yeah. Don't say nip. Anyway, let's go to the calls here at 901-3000. Tom, Adam Sachs is here in his guise as family law attorney Adam Sachs, answering your legal questions about divorce, separation, child support, child custody, vaginamony. He'll answer any question. You go. 901-3000, Tom. Jose in Rosemead, California. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Jose. How are you?
Hey, now, I have an ex-girlfriend that I was with her for quite a while. And now I have a 7-year-old son with her. And she's not letting me see him at all. And if I could see him, it's under her terms. I currently live with my girlfriend. I have a girlfriend now, so...
Right. So she doesn't want the kid around your new girlfriend, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of times, she's come to the point that she's called her, threatened her to be around. She just wants to kick her ass.
Yep. You keep that bitch away from my kid.
Yeah. Now she's trying to screw me with child support. I mean, I don't mind paying for my... I'm all for helping my kid out.
Really?
And yeah. And I want to see him. I actually want to spend time with him. But she's just, nope, you can't spend time with them unless it's under my terms and unless you stay somewhere else other than your girlfriend's house.
Well, see, the problem is that, you know, you didn't really do it correctly. It's very common that people do these little agreements with a little handshake, and I'll see him every other weekend or whatever. And that goes, yeah. You know, reasonably well for a couple of months. But when you talk about a child, I don't know how exactly old the child is, but you're talking about potentially up to 18 years of visitation. And so you can't do that with a woman on a handshake. Technically, right now, if you don't have any legal agreement of any kind, she can take that kid, meet a new guy, move to Florida, and there wouldn't be a damn thing you could do about it. And with respect to this thing you're talking about, basically women believe, and it's sick, but they really do believe that they own their children. Women actually believe that they have some kind of a greater right to the child than the father does. Because I guess they carried it and they gave birth or whatever. But the bottom line is the law looks at it as 50-50. And even you saying this thing that you don't mind paying or you don't mind supporting your child, that's nonsense. You know, if you had custody of the child, she'd be paying you support. And there's nowhere that it's written that men are the losers who have to pay support and women get primary custody. It's supposed to be equal now. And if you have a more stable, healthier situation for the child, then you should have primary custody. And like I said, she could pay you child support. So the reality is, but the reality is you're looking in the face of a petty dictator. And she is never going to cooperate with you until she gets spanked. Okay? Now, when you talk about child support, these women are able to go to court for free with a district attorney in what's called the Department of Child Support Services, and they can have the state help them get child support from you, which is very, very powerfully enforced. It's taken from your salary. They can take away your driver's license if you don't pay. They can do all kinds of enforcement actions. That costs them nothing. But while you're paying support, that has no provision whatsoever for visitation. For visitation, you have to hire a lawyer and go to family court and get a specific setup. And you can have, like, for example, 50-50, where you have 1 week and she has 1 week, or you have the weekends, or you have every other weekend or whatever. But you cannot do that on a handshake. You have to go to court, you have to get a lawyer, and you have to do it properly. I'll be happy to help you do it. But you should do that as early as possible. And if, you know, she, of course, is going to be an asshole when it comes to your girlfriend and all that other stuff. There's no way that that's going to work. Remember, the woman doesn't hate you. She hates another woman. Women hate other women. And so she'll be okay with you, you know, like you saw, for a little while and be fairly liberal about visits until she gets a bug up her ass that she doesn't want your kid near your new slut. You see?
All right. Okay,
if you
cool.
think
then,
that you're going to be able to talk to her and that she's going to become rational, particularly where her kid is concerned, forget it. And if you look at law and you look at reality, there is no man in the world that a woman hates as much as the man that she's had children with, okay? And that's you. Okay. And so you're a piece of shit, okay? You don't help her enough. You don't change enough diapers.
Right.
You don't clean up enough. You don't do proper playing with the kid. You don't earn enough money for the kid. You don't buy the things the kid needs. You're a fucking asshole. So she's going to let you see the kid? I don't think so. You have to show her that she does not have that power, but here you're negotiating with her and you're talking with her and you're, you know, doing this. You're making it as though somehow you're going to work it out with her. Men make a terrible mistake when they negotiate with women because they think that women are rational players, but they're not. And you're sitting there trying to talk straight and smart to someone who's insane and irrational. The only thing she's going to respect is a judge giving her a court order, and maybe not even then.
All right.
She gives you a hard time visiting your kid. I say take the kid away from her. And the courts will do that, by the way.
Yeah, because actually, where I live now, it's a way better environment where she lives right now. She lives with her parents and her other kids within a two-room.
What do you mean other kids? You got involved with a single mother?
Yeah,
that's funny.
Oh my.
What the hell did you do that for?
Because
I loved her.
Hold on now. This is a good thing. I want you to talk to the guys now, because Tom and I always say not to get involved with a single mother. So how did that all work out for you?
Not too good.
Well, what does she say about the father? What does she say about the fathers of her other kids?
Oh, the same thing. She's an asshole, but I don't even think she's trying to fuck them over with child support.
All right, okay. So she told you that the fathers of the other kids are all pieces of shit and assholes, but somehow you thought she wouldn't, you know, relate to you that way.
All right, yeah. Watch that.
All right, well, there you go. I think that speaks for itself. Anyway, give me a call. I'd be happy to help you. But yeah. Like I said, you're going to have to use the courts. You're going to have to do it properly. You cannot do something like visitation and custody on a handshake. Not with a woman. No way.
All right, Jose. I'm going to put you on hold, and Dean will hook you up with Adam. All right, hang on there. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Adam. We'll tell you how you can get in touch with him. We may even take another call or two here at 901-3000. Tom, Adam Sachs in studio talking about family law at 901-3000-866.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslow Insurance. C-O-S-T-L-O. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslow since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslow. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslow has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com today. Coslow. C-O-S-T-L-O.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24-7. Listen now or we'll pee on your rug.
They pee on your fucking rug.
Pee on my fucking rug.
Find us at newnormalrock.com and ask like TuneIn.
They peed on your fucking rug.
No ballots, no broads, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug.
New normal rock.
Welcome to one of our newest sponsors. It's datingtricks.com. That's datingtricks with an X.com. Now, you know your professor has been saying for years that one of the greatest ways to trick chicks is to put your number on the back of an ATM receipt with a large balance. It's a classic, and we know it works because we hear from guys who pull it off all the time. But I'll admit, hunting around for an ATM receipt with a good balance can be a real drag. Well, now the boys at datingtricks.com have you covered. Realistic-looking ATM receipts with large random balances delivered to your door. Done. You got to see it work for yourself. Visit datingtricks.com today. That's datingtricks with an X.com and receive three free additional fake ATM receipts per shipment when you enter this promo code. Tom101, okay? The promo code for Dating Tricks is Tom101. You've been hearing about this forever. Now here's an easy and fun way to put it to the test. Remember, Tricks is spelled with an X. It's datingtricks.com. Check it out today, datingtricks.com.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Give me a call. I'm toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can also check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And I love to get emails. Send me an email at adam@adamlawyer.com.
There you go. All right. It's 901-3000. Tom, we're here with Adam Sachs. And here is Bruce in Ingle-Watts on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Adam Sachs, good to have you in the studio again. I always look forward to your segment.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah, I have a quick question about child support.
Sure.
I know someone, that a lady that had a kid, and she made an agreement with a guy that she wouldn't ask for any child support if the guy would just leave her alone and the kid alone.
They put that in writing or what?
No,
Wait. Does it matter if they put it in writing?
No, of course not.
Of course not. Yeah. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea.
I was just teasing.
Yeah.
To be serious here for a moment, the listener might not know that. And so we have to make sure people understand. It doesn't matter if she put it in writing. She could write it in blood. It wouldn't matter. She wrote. A woman could say, leave my kid alone and leave me alone and I won't ask you for child support. You could write it in blood and you can put it in the safe deposit box. And then when the kid is 17 and a half years old, she can go back and say, you never paid me child support. You owe me 17 and a half years of child support.
That's right. Okay.
Hold on.
Who is this woman? Hold on. I'll tell you. I want Tom will really like this part. Now, she's a very religious woman. She had a kid. So she wanted to bring the kid up to believe in God. But then the father said, no, I'm going to tell him that, you know, God doesn't exist. You know, and all this other stuff.
Let me understand something. She's a very religious woman. How'd she get pregnant? Was she married? Yeah.
Oh, it was
Immaculate
birth,
Conception.
Like Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Immaculate Conception.
That's amazing, isn't it?
So the whole thing is, you know, she had the kid, and she stuck to the agreement all these years, and the kid's, I don't know, in high school now. But anyways, the question is, and she will stick to the agreement, because that's how she, you know, she's, but the bottom line is this. Can the kid apply for child support? You know, because he didn't agree to it. You know, in other words, it's nothing to do with him, but can the kid apply for it?
Can the kid come back after all these years and say, where's my child support?
Not really.
Does that have to be the parent?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
The kid's money?
Yeah, it's pretty sick, isn't it?
It's the kid's money, but if the kid says, hey, you know, I'd like to have gone to college, I'd like to have had an iPad or whatever, he can't come back and say, well, mommy never applied for my money.
Well, I mean, the whole conversation is silly because this thing that she did where she wrote the thing that she promised not to go for the child support.
Doesn't mean anything, right?
Nonsense. And, you know, she really is a sick person because she's basically taken away her child's money and she has no right to do that. And what Tom says is correct.
The child support money
is for the child. And even though it's given to the parent is supposed to spend it on the child. I've talked to a number of women who have said to me, you know, fuck him, I don't want any money from him, and I can handle myself. And by the way, they're collecting welfare within 6 months. But, you know, I tell them, look, you get the child support and put it in an account in trust for your child if you don't want it. And when the kid turns 18 or whatever, you say, hey, guess what? I never wanted this money. It's your money, though. And by now it's, you know, $116,000 or whatever because it's accumulated plus interest and everything all these, you know, 18 or 20 years. And it's all yours. You can spend it on college or buy yourself a car or start your life or whatever. I think that's the proper thing to do. It's not fair that the parent or the mother in particular, you know, negotiates it away. But in general, what you're going to find is there's a certain point where she can't go for it anymore. And I don't know exactly how old the kid is, but I mean, if he's, you know, 15 and 16 and 17 and whatnot, you know, it's going to end when he finishes high school and turns 18 anyway.
Yeah.
And it's really not for him to claim. It's for her to claim on his behalf.
Right.
And, you know, you don't want a child filing a case against the mother or the father or whatever. I hate stuff like that.
Yeah, I'll mention it to her because she should claim it on his behalf,
put it into a trust account.
Put it into a trust account. Excellent answer, Adam. That's why you're here.
That's why he gets the medium-sized bucks. He's so reasonably priced. Come on. You know the deal.
Try to do the right thing. I do believe, as much as, you know, I'm pro-father or whatever, I do believe that, you know, people should pay support for their children. I don't think that's wrong. I think that's appropriate. I've got mixed feelings about alimony, but not child support. And for her to, you know, because it was convenient for her, and she calls herself this big religious woman, it's such nonsense. If she loves her kids, she should put it away for him for his future. She has no right to compromise it away.
Bruce, thank you for the call. Here's Julie in Rosemead. Julie, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs.
Hi.
Hey, Julie, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine.
I just had a quick question. I'm in the middle of getting a divorce that should be finalized in November. But as far as getting custody, if I want full custody of my son and his father, who was living with his parents up and left, where his parents don't even know where, you know, he's not communicating with his own parents, and as far as that goes, how would I go about getting full custody?
Where is the guy?
I don't know. He was...
He just disappeared completely? I mean, is he insane or a drug addict or something?
No, he's a he was an alcoholic who then got into Vicodin due to the alcoholism and all that. So
can I ask you a silly question, Julie?
This guy never had a drop of alcohol before they got married, by the way.
Julie,
he was clean as a whistle.
Why on earth did you have a child with this guy?
Well, actually, he didn't drink or anything like that when him and I were together. But, of course, after we were together and he would drink from what I thought socially, you know, after I made him an alcoholic, according to his mother.
You know that one second, and before you feel too guilty about it, people don't become alcoholics in their 20s and 30s. That's something that's based in usually pre-adolescence. And so it's something that you didn't notice or you overlooked, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the only thing that he did that I didn't like was smoke cigarettes. And then it wasn't until a few years after we were together that he actually would drink on occasion. I never realized that when he was back in the day, drank heavily, obviously. But, you know, fast forward, he got really sick. We split up. You know, he was in and out of rehab, what have you. He ended up moving with his parents, and I had no problem, you know, keeping my son going over to his parents' house so that he could see his father because, you know, that's my son, those are his grandparents, his father, it's fine. I trust his parents. His parents are not malicious people. But I guess he up and left his parents' house for whatever reason, because him and I, we don't speak. We haven't spoken in I don't know how long. I just communicate with his parents solely for my son. But I found out through my son, my little three-year-old, that his dad is not there. You know, I asked his mother about that. She confirmed it that he left. And they really don't know where he's at. They think he's around somewhere, but he won't call them. They don't talk to him. And my whole thing was when I filed for divorce, I didn't file for full custody at the time because I didn't want to rock the boat. I just wanted the divorce to go through.
Okay, well, there's no such thing as full custody, okay? That's not how the words work, all right? What you might be talking about is sole custody, okay?
Sole custody, that's
but
what I want.
But what I'm kind of hearing you say between the lines, I think, is you'd like, for example, for your son to never see his father again. Is that correct?
No, I personally, if his father was, you know, at his parents' house, I have no problem. I mean, my kid loves his dad. I mean, he loves his
right.
dad. I have
no
problem.
So do you understand that? Him. One second now. This is important, okay? Your child's only 3 years old. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And there's going to be a whole period now where he's going to be young and then he's going to be a teenager and he's going to need a male image of some kind. He's going to need someone like a father or somebody. Okay. And if he doesn't find someone positive like his own father who hopefully straightens his act out to some degree, he's going to end up getting involved in gangs or he's going to get involved with bad people or he's going to take role models that are not very positive. There are a lot of very serious possibilities, and he's now what's considered an at-risk child. And so when you keep saying, I want full custody, that makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Now, I understand.
Well, it's more just because his, you know, the whole thing is like, you know, if I want to take my kid on a trip out of the country, I mean, wouldn't I technically right now need his father's permission to do that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you've done. You said you did the whole divorce yourself, I guess, and that's not a very good idea. You know, you need to have...
I went through a paralegal.
Okay, well, that's nonsense, okay? You need a lawyer to do a divorce. Paralegals are not lawyers. They're not giving you legal advice. They're just filling out forms. Now, I haven't seen what you did.
Well, I mean, it was pretty cut and dry. I mean,
well,
we didn't
it's not,
have any
actually.
Property. We didn't have anything.
It's not because you obviously now are having a problem. You're going to want to take him out of the country, and I don't know if you wrote down joint custody or sole custody or what you did, but it may end up being something that's problematic for you.
I think what bothers me now is that he's not around. He doesn't do anything. I'm more than happy to, you know, let him, his parents. I mean, I'm not one of those women that wants to keep him away and you can't see your kid type of deal. But I just hate the fact that years down the line, this guy can pop in and have a say when he hasn't raised his kid at all.
Okay. So what would you like to see happen?
Well, I guess I just personally would like to have full reins of my son. I mean, since he was 6 months, his father has done not one thing for him. And I would hate, I think I fear what one day this guy comes back in my life and will try to take him or try to have some kind of control over it. And it's like, no, I don't know. That makes me nervous.
Yeah, but you're forgetting somebody in this equation. What about your son? What are you going to do when your ex shows up and wants to take your son? And get this part now, your son wants to go with him.
That, me personally,
that'll never happen, right?
I don't see that happening,
really,
personally, with the dad. But, I mean, if this guy was clean and sober,
he's not going to get clean and sober. If he has drug problems or alcohol problems or Vicodin, that's probably going to be something that he has to deal with his whole life, okay?
Okay.
But you had a child with someone like that, okay? So you're stuck with that. What I'm talking about is something that you're not anticipating. I'm talking about this guy showing up in a couple of years, and your son has been waiting all this time for his dad, okay? And you say, son, I'm going to protect you from that piece of shit father you have. And your son says, what do you mean protect me? I want to be with dad. Okay, that's going to be the shock of your life. All right? And when you talk about sole custody, you think that somehow you're going to create this wall around your son. But the truth is, the reason the law generally wants and specifies joint custody is because they want both parents to be involved. Now, I don't know what your paralegal typed up, but most likely that's what they typed up, joint custody. Now, you certainly could try to change that and make it sole custody, but that doesn't mean that the father doesn't get visitation. And if he shows up even years from now, it doesn't sound to me like you're getting any child support either, which is really silly.
No.
You found yourself a real loser to have a child with, and you've impoverished yourself, I presume. But the reality is that your son is still very biologically and very basically going to want to know his father, and you're going to have to prepare for that. I'm always surprised that women think, and that women say this, I will be the mother and the father. And the answer is
well,
you can't be.
I don't intend to be the mother and the father. I mean, me personally, until he skipped out a couple months ago, I was the one, you know, reaching out to them.
I understand, but you keep saying, one second, you keep saying, if he gets clean and sober. Well, that's nonsense.
Well, I personally wouldn't feel comfortable, you know, like I told his parents, if I take my son over there and then they allow him to take my son out of that home or out of that environment, that I wouldn't feel safe with. I don't think anybody would.
By the way, how do you know when someone's clean and sober? You thought this guy was clean and sober when you married him.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't let him go see his dad unless his dad was clean and sober. I mean, this whole time he's been seeing his dad up until he took off, I don't believe he was clean and sober, but he was in an environment where he lived with his parents, and I trust his parents, and I know my son's there in a stable environment, you know, whether his dad chooses to physically be there on those days that his son's there or not. I can't control that. You know,
you're talking about your former in-laws or whatever?
My former in-laws, because he lived with them.
All right. Well, you're gonna have to somehow, if you can. I don't know what kind of people they are, but if you can try to maintain some kind of positive relationship with them, and they obviously are not stupid. They know that their son is, you know, messed up on drugs or whatever, and you're going to have to try to tell them, look, if he calls, I mean, tell me, whatever. I know that, you know, Junior wants to see him, but we're going to have to, like, do that in a certain way, and we're going to have to make sure that it doesn't get weird or anything bad doesn't happen. And you're going to have to try to just, you know, make it as positive as you can for your son. And you have to tell your son, look, you know, in this world, people sometimes have problems with drugs, and it messes them up, and it makes them act silly, and your father's one of those people. And so you're going to have to just be patient, and hopefully he'll be in touch, and you might not hear from him for a long time. And if you do see him, you know, maybe he can't be alone with your son. Maybe you're going to have to work out some kind of a visitation where his parents are there, or even you're there, or there's some kind of a monitor or whatever. There's all kinds of things that they work out. I understand your desire to get sole custody, and maybe that's appropriate, but you've got
to
look a little more
control, but
no, it's not just that. You have,
like,
to look at your part in this. Okay, you made a really awful decision to have a child with this person, and now that's going to be the focus of the next 15 or 20 years of your life, and you're going to have to try to make the best of it. When you said to Tom just now that you didn't know and he wasn't like that, I don't believe you. I think that it was exciting and thrilling to be with someone who was crazy, and it was something that you were willing to overlook.
Well, that was the thing. This guy, it was so mellow.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, he was so mellow, worked with his dad.
It doesn't matter.
You don't
marry an alcoholic drug addict. And when you do that and have that child with that person, you're going to have to deal with the consequences, and that's going to be something that you're going to have to struggle with for a long time. And by the way, it's going to be heartbreaking for your kid. You know, he's going to expect the father for Christmas or his birthday, and then the father won't show up, all that kind of bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of crazy stuff that's going to happen. You're going to have to just really be patient. You know that there's a new thing. You know, people that were alcoholics were always urged to go to, you know, 12-step programs, and they started to talk about not just that person, but the codependent person, the wife or the partner of the alcoholic needs to go to what's called Al-Anon, which is for the non-alcoholic, but it's the person who was drawn into a relationship.
The enablers.
The enabler. And that may be you. I'm not a psychiatrist or whatever, so I don't know. But that's something you're going to have to dig into. And to be perfectly frank with you, I feel sorry for your child. He didn't ask to be born, and he wants to have a mother and a father. And now he's got this fuck-up for a father. So you're going to have to try to help him with that. That's going to be something you've got to deal with for a long time.
The best thing for him in your pain is just leave it as...
I don't know. I don't know what you did. I'm telling you again, doing it with a paralegal is madness. I really, it's like Tom always talks about people that grab the forms at the UPS store. I think that's a big mistake. And so I don't know what you filed. I don't know what you got. I don't know if you got child support, you did it correctly or what. So I hope you did it right. But, you know, if you're getting joint custody with someone who's crazy, you're right. You're going to have problems. So maybe you are right. Maybe you need to get sole custody. But one way or another, you should never have a fantasy that you're going to somehow shut him out, because you can't. That's just
no, I don't
want
to shut him out. Good. I don't want to do that to my kid. That way. You know, that's not what I want to do at all. I mean, his parents help me out right now, helping when I work nights on the weekends. You know, I mean, I have a good relationship with his parents that
I'm
way
good.
For my son. You know, I hope that he goes and stops by when he's there so he can see his dad, and all I do is tell him his dad loves him, his dad's great. You know, I build his dad up to, you know, make him look as a huge superhero. I mean, I don't know what else to do. I'm not
well,
gonna
you don't
want to
create too much of a mystique of his father that doesn't really exist, you know?
No.
You tell him that his father's a special magic hero, he's going to be super disappointed when it turns out he's not. Seriously.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fantasy I've seen with particularly boys, but girls too. The father abandoned them or whatever, and, you know, without any help from the mother doesn't talk about it, let's say, the child will create a whole story that the father is an explorer and he's traveling around the world and that he's, you know, coming for the child when he gets a little older. And, you know, it's really sad. It's really unfortunate.
Well,
they'll take a picture
of
the father and they'll, you know, create a whole kind of background story, which is just based on fantasy. So I think this thing, you know, age appropriately, because like you said, he's only a few years old, but you need to explain to him that, you know, people take drugs and that it makes them act silly and that his father has a problem and hopefully he's going to get better.
All right, Julie, by the way, I'll put you on hold. Dean will put you in touch with Adam in case you have some questions for him. He'll be happy to help you out. Tom in Thousand Oaks, I'm pushing my luck here on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Adam.
Hello.
I got a question about teenagers flip-flopping between my house and their mom's house.
What a nightmare.
Because of money. What do you do? Just let it go? Just let it ride? Let things... I've received some advice to that effect, but what's your take on that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. There's this this book, which was made into a movie. It was called The Age of Grief, and the movie was called The Secret Lives of Dentists with Campbell Scott. It's a great book and a great movie. And what he talks about, and it shows in the movie, it was a much younger child. The child was like maybe 7 or 8 years old, this little girl. And what during the movie, for a while, she would be crying only for the father, you know? And the mother would pick her up, and she'd go hysterical. So then the father would pick her up, and he'd be with her like he couldn't put her down. She was so crazy. And then all of a sudden flip, and she would want to only be with the mother. And the father would try to pick her up, and she would, you know, go bananas to get away from him and only want to be with the mother, and she wouldn't let go of her. And what ends up happening in this sort of flip-flopping and divorce, you know, children for a while when they're, you know, in the, let's say, 8, 9, 10, 11, you know, years age group will go between the parents back and forth for the weekends and, you know, 1 week on and 1 week off. But generally when they become teenagers and become a little more rebellious, they will start to have favoritism. And it switches. It's kind of a mixed loyalty where they'll they'll blow off the father for a month or two and only want to be with the mother. And this is very painful for the father, of course. And then they'll just do the opposite. and they'll stay with the father, and they'll tell the father, oh, I hate mom, I don't want to see her anymore, you know, and they kind of do this back and forth thing, and it's very, very confusing. How's the relationship with your ex, between you and her?
Between me and her, the ex? No, yeah. The relationship between me and the ex is crazy.
Really?
My ex is crazy, yeah. No,
I'm sorry to hear that.
We cannot have a conversation without her bringing up some type of an insult or anything. Like, she cannot stick to business.
I'm sorry to hear that. You know that one of the realities when you get divorced is, you know, you're supposed to, believe it or not, you're supposed to co-parent. And that's supposed to be for the benefit of the kids. And it's a real shame, you know, if she still wants to talk about the marriage and who cheated and all this other bullshit, you know. It would be very appropriate for you to have a conversation with her and say, look, you know, we can't let ourselves get into this nonsense of the kids kind of, you know, bouncing back and forth. And we have to have an understanding, you know, that we're going to try to have some stability for them, that we're not going to allow them to manipulate us this way. Unfortunately, if you've got this crazy situation where you and the ex don't get along and you can't communicate at all, that's bad, because obviously you're not going to be able to deal with it, you know. You're not going to be able to talk to her about it, so that's rather limiting. But basically, you need to communicate with your kids. You have to show them stability. You have to say, look, I'm your dad. I love you very much, and I'm always here for you. And I don't like what you're doing. I don't like this bouncing back and forth thing. But if you want to be with me or you want to talk to me, you know how to reach me. Here's my number. And wherever you are, I'll come get you. And that's it. And leave it at that. You can't get into this thing where it's like, you know, like little kids, you know, they want to be with the parent that buys them more toys or whatever, you know. You don't want to be in that position.
Well, that's what's happening right now is.
Yeah, but you don't want a relationship with them based on bribery, you know.
Correct. And I've turned them down. And in fact, I'm lower income than my ex.
Right.
And, you know, what I've tried to do, for example, over this last summer is have my son work for me. I have my own business. And I'm trying to instill values of entrepreneurship, of hustling, of getting out there and getting his own money. And then when he goes to his mom's house, if she just gives him thousands of dollars of, you know, various items. And I can't compete. And I'm dead in the water.
Well, you know, that's sort of the classic thing also where, I don't know about money, for example, but just for one second, there's a classic example where the father, let's say, is like a Marine and he's a disciplinarian, you know, and the mother lets the kids get away with murder, you know. So what ends up happening is that the kids want to be with mom because it's a fucking party, you know. And daddy is like this, you know, strict meanie, you know. So what ends up happening is that it's sort of a race to the bottom who's going to be more lenient. And, you know, you cannot get into a bidding war. You cannot get into some kind of an eBay negotiation. It's not just refuse. I think it's, you know, it's humiliating as a parent, you know. And so I would say that, you know, you're trying to teach your son to be, you know, responsible and to learn the value of money. And then obviously his stupid mother is undermining the lesson a minute later by handing him over cash like it doesn't mean anything. And that's a shame. And you should be able to talk to her and communicate with her about that. I mean, is it possible even for you to, like, email her? Could you communicate with her in some other way?
Yeah, we have the court-ordered family wizard.
Okay, how's that?
And, well, she's used it primarily for money to sort of hijack me for medical expenses. And, you know, and then I'm having trouble actually making insurance premium payments because she's hassling me for back support. And so, you know, I'm struggling with
leaving the financial stuff. If you were to write, but hear me out a second. I understand. If you were to write her a message and say, look, leave money for a second. I want to talk to you about something. I'm very worried about, you know, whatever your kid's name is. I really feel like he doesn't understand the value of hard work, and I'm trying to teach him by involving him in my business, and I think it would be a good idea if you stop, you know, giving him, you know, cash like you do, because I want him to learn about earning money. I mean, would that would be a disaster?
I don't think I would get a good response, but I'm going to do that and take your advice because that's how I feel, and I would take ownership of that. And even if my kids reject me the rest of my life, I know that I'm in that position, and that's where I want to be.
Okay, I can tell you right now that they are not going to reject you for the rest of your life, okay? It is in the very nature of children to seek out their parents, okay? And I have seen a lot of instances where parents have done horrible things to their children. I'm talking like child molesting stuff, okay? There's cases where the father killed the mother, okay? And the children are furious and they're very upset. And the next thing you know, they're visiting dad in jail, okay? It is very possible that if you discipline your children, if you say essentially no to them, okay, they're going to be upset and they're going to be pissed.
Absolutely.
And they're going to say, you know, dad's an asshole and he's got no right and all this other good stuff, okay? But the bottom line is you're going to have to put your foot down. You're going to have to be respected. You're going to have to know your limits. And if they are pushing you too far and you say no to them and they say, fine, fuck you, we're not going to see you again, you may not see them for a while, okay?
Right.
And you're going to have to deal with that. But if you believe that that's going to be the rest of your life, you're mistaken. I've seen cases where the mother was toxic, very toxic, and said horrible things about the father, and the children accepted it, and the children cut the father off, and the father didn't see the kids for years, okay? And I know that hurts, but they will come around. But you have to still have self-respect. And if you're essentially licking the ass of your children to, like, be their friend, let's say, rather than their father, that's not a good thing. And that's something you shouldn't engage in. If you're not comfortable doing that, you don't have to do that, and you shouldn't allow it to go on. And like I said, you're going to express limits, and you're going to have to live with them, and the kids will have to learn to respect that. And in the end, I think when they get older, hopefully, they're going to look at this, and they're going to say, you know, Dad, Mom was out of control, and you were the one who taught us, you know, the meaning of being an adult.
All right, Tom, good luck. Thank you for that.
Great stuff, huh, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Amazing stuff.
So you see what fathers go through when the parents get divorced?
Yep.
You get this crazy mom, and she's doing all this crazy shit, and the father's, like, sitting there going, I can't believe this.
I know. Count me out. Right, once again, how can people get in touch with you, Adam?
Give me a call toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320, and I do answer my phone.
You can write Adam. Adam at AdamLawyer.com. Visit his website, AdamLawyer.com.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
He's an ass man.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to BlowMeUpTom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer.
Yay!
Beer Magazine. All right, already, it's done. Even quicker than I suspected, the three-tit woman is a big fraud. And
if
you didn't know it, I don't know where the hell you come from. That's right, Elvis.
Even the dog knew.
He knew all along.
The dog knew.
TMZ reporting that this broad at one point had her luggage stolen. When they found it, they checked it out. And in there was the fake three-tit thing.
That's very interesting. So inside the bag was a three-breast prosthesis.
Yes.
And by the way, the cops were told that the value of these three breasts were $5,000.
Right. She's walking around saying she got $20,000 worth of procedures done to get a third tit put on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she got a lot of attention.
Not only is everybody buying it hook, line, and sinker, but people reporting it as if it's fact. Not even as if, you know, there's any question to it.
Right.
Literally, not judging it in any way.
Even when we reluctantly reported this yesterday, we had said that, you know, there's no way to prove this sucker.
No.
That's it. Something is odd and tired of people sending it.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
A dude on a Qantas flight was apparently drunk and trying to steal whiskey.
What's wrong with that? Oh, the stealing the whiskey part.
When he busted out of four pair of those plastic handcuffs that they use?
Yes.
Four pair he went through.
Well, that's a guy very determined to play around.
He wanted his whiskey and he wanted it badly.
Mm-hmm. Well, how terrible, because now the flight had to be diverted. And that's going to cost a lot of money. And as you know, Qantas is usually high up over the ocean, for crying out loud, for long periods of time. I don't know where a friend was going to, but from Bangkok, I guess it was forced to go to our friends in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen to happen that way.
Yeah. He had a hell of a time, man.
He was a good time, dude. 34-year-old dude, man.
At one point, he apparently said, "Turn off the fucking light, cunt."
Yeah.
On the plane.
He was done. He had a good time.
Yeah. Speaking of airlines, billionaire Richard Branson wants everyone to have unlimited vacation. Unlimited
vacation. I can't say that I
vacation.
Don't disagree with him one bit.
Yeah.
How does our friend Sir Richard Branson expect to achieve this thing?
He says that he would like to leave it to the employee alone to decide if and when he or she feels like taking a few hours a day or a week or a month off.
Hmm. So you mean to tell me...
That the non-policy, they call it, the non-policy works under the assumption that employees will only take breaks from their jobs when they feel comfortable that their absence will not damage the business, the team, or their career.
Well, that's the key. Because let's just say our friends at Virgin Atlantic or Virgin America, let's say it's the pilot, and you got a 305 flight to JFK from LAX, or you're heading out to see Paul in Sydney, and you think that the pilot's going to say, you know, I could go for a couple hours. I think I'm going to take a little vacation starting now. See, so this is going to require, obviously, you know, as it doesn't hurt the company, so it's not really... I like the way he's thinking.
Right. By the way, he was inspired by Netflix. Apparently, this already happens in Netflix. You can take whenever you want off.
Oh, yeah. He was inspired by a policy.
They don't even track vacation
that
on
his
Netflix.
His daughter showed him about how Netflix doesn't track vacation.
They don't
time.
Even write it down. Don't even make note of it. Not even a mental note. You take vacation whenever you want. A
lot of happy people over at Netflix.
The co-founder of Google also thinking along the same lines. Running wild in the goddamn
having
home.
A very difficult time with the movements back here.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus, remember when she got her Maserati taken from her?
Yeah, went down the street to like North Hollywood.
A couple of dopes. Yeah.
Well, they're officially a couple of dopes because A... Anytime you're on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter and you do a fish or a duck face, that's what Tyler Scott did, and he deserves to be in jail.
Dummy's
and that's
going
exactly
to jail.
Where he's going, to jail.
5 years for the dude. Apparently, he had a
State
gun
prison.
On him. He had a gun on him and had a prior record. The chick, the dumb chick that went along for the ride.
Naomi Chow.
She got to get herself a year in a can.
Yeah. 5 years in state bang-me-in-the-ass prison, our friend.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
State bang-me-in-the-ass prison.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Good luck to our friend.
Finally, a big alert for you. The latest 138 girl. We don't know anything about this water, even if it's real or not. I've never actually seen it.
I've never seen it either, but apparently it's pure, and the girls they get are top-notch. The scout must just peruse through Instagram, kind of like we do, only he comes up with some fake product, or maybe it's a real product, who knows. And they show up and hold it in their hands.
Chelsea Heath is the latest, and we're talking about a picture of her the other day. She got a motor on her.
Yes, she does.
She got a motor on her.
It's powered by General Electric engines, and it's flying over the Atlantic right now.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Turn off the fucking light, cunt. Check out the podcast, GaryandDino.com is where you find
it. That was perfect, actually.
Brand new show. Every Friday, it's GaryandDino.com. Come from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
How many times have you heard audio that sounds like this?
Let me help you, like you help me.
When in reality, it should sound like this.
Let me
Devin Bronson is here from BN Audio and the Black Box, and he's got some exciting news about the Black Box. So welcome, Devin. What's going on?
Hey, Tom. I wanted to stop by today and tell you about our new promotion we are offering your listeners. It's the Black Box Bluetooth Bundle. Now, what that is a lot of listeners have written us, and they've asked us about Bluetooth and how it applies to the Black Box. When it was created, Bluetooth was nowhere near the quality we wanted it to be. Now we're able to offer the best Bluetooth available on the market to work with the Black Box, and we're giving it away for free.
Wow, that's a great deal. You know, we love the Black Box around here. We have them here in the studio. We have them at home. Everybody here loves the Black Box. If you go to bnaudio.com, you put in promo code Tom, you get the Black Box for the usual P1 discounted price bundled with Bluetooth altogether. Go today to bnaudio.com. Remember, promo code Tom. It's bnaudio.com.
This is the new normal.